The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus appointed 72 other disciples, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town." The Gospel of the Lord. Is really strong words for Jesus as he sends the 72 out to proclaim his coming kingship, his coming rule over all the earth. And here we have also at the end, right, what kind of sticks with us. We always like to end on a high note here, you know, that it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for the town that rejects the message. And we can remember the town of Sodom was consumed with fire rained from on high. Yeah, so that's not nice. It's not nice of Jesus to say that, of course, but he's not simply Mr. Nice Guy, right? He's come not with an option for, how do you say, like one competing option among many as it relates to religion, right? He's not come to give us like a new aesthetic, like a new way to present our lives, or a nice little bit of icing on the cake of our lives that religion is. Yeah, religion, what is religion? It's this nice little thing I do. I kind of do it every day, and it makes me feel good about myself. It's quite clear that Jesus is not really offering that option, right? Not at least primarily, especially when it's associated with this word of condemnation that he speaks. And I think some of it is really just a sense that, I mean, here in this passage, we're looking at the urgency of the situation, right? The urgency of the situation 2,000 years ago, where Jesus is trying to save Israel and the people of Israel from total destruction. He knows that if they continue on their path, then they will face armed conflict with Rome. And he knows how that's going to end. So, I mean, you'd have to be an idiot to not know how that's going to end. Or you'd have to be blinded by your own ambition to not know how that's going to end. Right? So Jesus is urgently calling these people to return to the way of God, because that's the way of salvation. That's the way off of the sinking ship. That is their own personal ambition. Right? And here now, some years in the future, right, 2,000 years now from this story, we face the same dilemma ourselves. Are we going to go our own way towards condemnation, or will we go Jesus's way, the way of peace? What is it that we want? Do we want to stay on the sinking ship that is our lives outside of God's plan and purpose? Or do we want to find our whole lives consumed by God and his purposes that allow us to participate in the divine life of God now, what we call eternal life, and prepare us for his perfect, unavoidable rule in the age to come? What is our choice? We want to go our own way? We want to live for our own intentions? And again, most of those, I mean, look, they're all, you know, it's all about self-concern, right? It's all about what's going to make me safe. What is going to secure me in my way of life? What guarantees my standard of living and such, right? This is one of the root evils of our country, of our land, of our culture, of our civilization. What is it that will secure my standard of living? And we make all of our choices about how to maintain or increase, uphold my standard of living, right? Instead of saying, my whole life is given to Jesus. So I give my whole life. So what does my standard of living have to do with it? Except how he wants to use everything that I have and everything I am for his purposes. Yeah? So what questions are we asking? I mean, where are we going? Where are we headed today? Are we headed toward the condemnation that's worse than Sodom? That's not something that God wills, by the way. That's something that we choose for ourselves, and God is desperately trying to save us from. But will we go that way, or will we allow Jesus to save us? And look, I mean, you know, however bad our situation is, I don't know that any of us today is getting sent out, even though we'd have company, right? We're two by two. We're not necessarily getting sent out like lambs among wolves, carrying no money bag, sack, sandals, greeting no one along the way, and all the rest, right? But we likewise are charged today to live for God and his purposes. We're sent out two by two because one is we have to embody the fellowship of life and love that God is and that he calls us to, and we have to embody that so that we can bring others into that. We can bring others into the fraternity and the fellowship of God himself, but also because we need the encouragement. We need the strength that friendship provides along the way. We need the encouragement to keep at it when it feels like we just can't do it anymore. But what we have to do is persevere in the task of love that Jesus sets for us. He has loved us into life. He's loved us into salvation. He's saving us from ourselves, and it's ours simply to trust and follow him along the way.